Well, I wanted to believe Dina. I wanted to believe her. Said Jillian was going to wind up being single, and I thought I had a chance. But you know what? Hip, hip, hooray for Ed and Green Shorts, damn it. You know, the great guy won, and I'm just tickled pink for the both of them. Welcome, everybody, to Yes, I Can't Believe It. It's been a short summer, Charlie Brown. It is a mixture of excitement and sadness. This is our final Bachelorette chat. This is our season finale here on the Culture of Pop here at the DVDMarquee.com website. And let me just go ahead and bring them on. Dina and Lisa, once again, can you believe how time has just flown over the last 2 months since we started doing this?
No, we really had a lot of fun. I think it's true when they say time flies when you're having fun. So it is sad.
And it's just been a very emotional couple of days, you know, not only, you know, watching these shows the last two nights, but I just got back from a little weekend jaunt in Memphis, Tennessee. I went to see the American Idol show over there, and I also had a chance to reconnect with two very close friends of mine, one of whom I used to work with at WAAY-TV in Huntsville, ABC, the Huntsville, Alabama home of The Bachelorette and all the great shows on the American Broadcasting Company. And I don't want to bore everybody by telling everybody what happened the entire weekend, but let's just say I fell in love with two wonderful dogs. You know, it's been a long time since I've had a dog around the house, and they had this beautiful Yorkshire Terrier, and her name was, oh gosh, I can't think of her name offhand, but it was Ruby. Yeah, it was Ruby, and she just could not stop kissing me, and it was just the sweetest thing you could have ever seen. And I'm going to talk to Mike Fleiss about doing a reality show about that. Do you think it would sell?
You kissing dogs?
No, not me kissing dogs. The dogs kissing me. No. Can we start this thing over? Anyway.
So you didn't kiss them back?
Yeah, but no, well, I'm not going to go there. But anyway, but enough about me. We got so much to talk about. Those of you that are regulars to my site, you heard me talking with Lily from the Ring Planner, or the Ring Bearer, I should say, .ca, not ca, but ca, and we talked a little bit about the finale on Monday night. Talked for about 20 minutes or so, but I didn't want to leave Dina and Lisa out of the lurch. Dina, as a matter of fact, we had talked about talking Monday. I was going to work you into this podcast that I did with Lily as a separate interview, but you had some family business to attend to, and you were just, like, crushed.
I was devastated. I couldn't stand not knowing what happened. I watched up until the last hour, and then I had to leave, and I had to hit the DVR, so I was just, I raced home. It's a wonder I didn't get a speeding ticket, but I just had to know what was going on. The last thing I saw, I think, was, you know, the first part ending after the date, so I had no clue what was going to happen. But Lisa, you got to see it all then.
Yeah, I got mad about probably the last hour. It was really downhill from there.
Because Kipton was your pick, wasn't it? I mean,
yes, he was.
And you're not the only Kipton fan. You know, Lily has a thing for Kipton's washboard abs, you know. And I hope her boyfriend's not going to be jealous if he's listening in here. But, you know, Kipton's a great-looking guy. But I got to tell y'all, I mean, from the first week of the show, and correct me if I'm wrong, but when Jilly and Ed met for the first time, it was just like, you know, I played a song at the beginning of the last podcast by Styx called Love at First Sight, and that's what I felt when I saw these two together. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but she put her hand over her heart and went, whoo, after he went into the house. Did that happen?
I'm not sure. You know, Ed was part of the extra five who came in. So they when they met, they were actually in the house. The other guys were sitting around. And but she immediately, her, you know how your eyes will get bigger when you see something that you love or are attracted to? And her eyes just widened and sparkled. And she came over and she said, "Hi, I'm Jill." You know, I never heard her refer to herself as Jill before. So there was definitely a spark there.
Instant chemistry that just can't be denied, and I just felt that when I saw these two together, I just noticed there was this something in her eyes, you know, more spring in her step, as they say, you know, more spring in his step, you know. I mean, it was just a mutual admiration society from the get-go, and I just knew this guy was going to wind up being one of the final two. You know, of course, my picks were Ed and Reed. You know, Kipton, I like Kipton a lot, nice guy, but I just didn't really see an emotional connection there. So I found that kind of interesting that he wound up being one of the final two. But
I picked Ed from the very first episode. I'm not putting it in Lisa's face. I'm just saying I saw that. I saw that spark myself. But Lisa and I didn't notice Reed until way into the season. He was very quiet in the background.
Right.
And then one day I think she chose him, and I want to say, I can't remember, maybe Robbie, I'm not sure, for her two dates. And we were like, who's this cat? You know, we didn't even remember him from before. So he kind of slipped through the cracks, but has really won us over.
Yeah, I mean, he was just wonderful, and I can't wait to talk about the final rose from last night. Boy, what a moment that was, but we'll quickly recap the finale right quick here. Tell you some of the highlights for me. I thought that the chemistry between Ed and Jillian's family was just such a strong point. You know, they really seem to like this guy, and like we've talked about all these weeks, you know, family chemistry is a very, very important thing.
It definitely is. My impression of Jillian's family with Ed was that the father really, really liked him, was really impressed with his answers. He could see that, didn't you think, Lisa, he could see that Ed really loved his daughter?
Yeah, I think that's what he said, that Ed had no problem saying, I love Jillian.
Yeah. And even ask for her, you know, can I ask her to marry me?
Right.
Yeah, whereas I think the mother and the grandmother and Cousin Tori, Cousin Tori, who really likes the camera time, I think.
Yeah.
She was all about Kipton. They were all about Kipton, I thought. That was my impression.
Yeah, me too. And I tell you, you know, I've been so crushed Jilly all these weeks that when I saw Tori, it's like, oh, wow, who's this? It's like, oh, no. What am I going to do?
I'm going to
be
resemblance. Yeah,
I know. It's like, wow, I feel like Jillian right now. I'm torn between Tori and Jillian. What will I do? You know? But yeah, she was cute, but I think she's married. I think I saw a ring on her finger. But
wah. Oh, you were looking at her.
Yeah, I was looking. But just in case, Tori, I am available. So anyway, but
you know, I was just wondering, and this may sound cruel, but Lisa and I are a little irreverent on our show, so we're going to bring that to you here. The mother, without sounding rude, if you went home to Jillian to meet Jillian's parents and you saw the mother, do men look at the mother like the cliche is, this is what my future wife is going to look like or be like?
You know, it's so funny you bring that up, you guys, and I'm going to feather slap you right quicker because my roommate said the same thing. And it's like,
I'm not going to use the F word, but I mean, it does have to cross your mind because she's so teeny, teeny, tiny. You know, Lisa said it would be way in the future if that's her future.
Yeah, that's going to be way down the road before that transpires for Jillian.
But to me, you know, when I see a woman, you know, say if, you know, the pounds do come on or something like that, I'm not going to see the pounds, you guys. I'm going to see the woman that I fell in love with all those years ago, you know.
And that's
I mean, and I mean that sincerely. I mean, you marry for love. You marry for chemistry, and you want to be looking back at the age of 80, you know, with your scrapbooks on the back porch and stuff like that. And I don't care about that. And that's the reason I think that I've taken Jillian to my heart, as did the rest of the country. You know, she's just a wonderful person, and it's going to be wonderful if she wants the publicity and stuff like that for us to grow up with her and, you know, go into middle age and all that. You know, I just I look forward to their journey. You know, they're just a couple of sweet kids, and my heart just broke for Kipton because, you know, I've been there before. And but did you guys, you know, we all know, with a couple of notable exceptions, they've always had the guy that came in the runner-up position first. And I hate to say runner-up because this is not a game show, this is this is a quest for love, you know. But you know, I just knew, despite the sparks and stuff that flew between Kipton and Jillian, that there was a lack of an emotional connection here. But let me put the ball in your court and get your thoughts on that.
I really thought that Kipton was in the bag when they had their date. And when he opened up to her, you know, in his, I guess it was his room, they were sitting there on the couch, and, you know, he was telling her that he couldn't wait for her to meet his friends.
Right.
And, I mean, I really thought that he said everything she wanted to hear.
Yeah, he said, I want you to come and live with me at my home, you know, which is a nice home. And yeah, I felt like he was trying to tie up all the loose ends, too. I'm just curious as to the influence of the family, because I don't know if you want to talk about this yet or not, but the comparison of Kipton with the family is to Ed with the family.
Sure, let's talk about that. What about that?
I think Jillian sat down and talked with her dad, and her dad said, look, Kipton never said, I love your daughter. Ed said it immediately. Ed's ready to propose. Kipton never mentioned it. Kipton kept saying down the road, eventually, this is a start.
I'm getting there a lot quicker than I thought
I would.
Which, you know, was basically saying I'm not there yet.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that was a big impetus. I think Jillian really respects her parents' opinion. And
oh, definitely. They're great folks. You know, Dad and a hula skirt, man, that was awesome.
The coconut bras.
Yeah, the coconut bra. Yeah, man, you gotta love a guy that's man enough to wear a grass skirt and a coconut bra.
Exactly.
Thumbs up, Pops. Thumbs up.
I think there might have been some Mai Tais involved in that little.
Probably so. Yeah, I can relate to that. I had a little vodka over the weekend, so hey, I probably would have been going, aloha, you know, yeah. So anyway, but
I know I'm getting you for Christmas now.
Sure. We accept gifts and donations right here. Yes, we do. But but you know, to me, looking back as we're talking about this, I think that Reed had more of a commitment to Jillian than Kipton did. You know, of course, look what happened. He came all the way back from Philadelphia, and I'll tell you one thing I would not have done. I would have lost the white tennis shoes. You do not propose to a woman in a leisure suit and white tennis shoes, you know. But yet, Jillian, you know, she just ran off, you know, and I'll tell you, the highlight of the show for me, other than the engagement, was Chris Harrison, bless his heart, you know. They've become really good buddies off camera from what I understand. And let me go ahead and call this up right here. She was just so confused and just wondering, you know, what in the ever-loving hell am I going to do here? I mean, this is like, you know, the biggest decision I've made in my life. I want to go here and read a highlight from Chris Harrison's blog, which you guys can find at Entertainment Weekly's site. That's EW.com. And Chris Harrison writes, if you ask Jillian about that final day and Reed coming back, she'll tell you it was always Ed all the way. I understand her position, and if I was engaged to somebody else, I would probably paint the same picture. I don't doubt for a second that Jillian loves Ed, and I know that was what she wanted the moment she woke up that morning. But I also know that there was serious temptation when Reed came back, and that temptation did lead to a moment of doubt. Luckily, Jillian had the poise to walk away and try to collect her thoughts. That's when I asked the producers if I could go talk to her. That's sweet. Jillian and I have become very good friends over the last year, and at that moment, she needed a friend to talk to, somebody that wasn't going to manipulate or lead her in a certain direction, just somebody that would listen and let her lead herself back where she always wanted to be, and that was with Ed. Talk about a wonderful guy being there in a really good moment. And I just, you know, the way it was shot, you know, with mainly just one camera, it was this great little human interaction moment. And it wasn't a host and a contestant. It was a friend to a friend. And I just thought it was one of the sweetest things I've seen on TV this year, if not all the years that I've watched television. I really loved it.
Yeah, Chris Harrison, you can tell the look on his face that he really gets involved in the contestants' lives. He's got a good heart. And when he came in and sat down and started talking to her, at the time I was yelling at the television saying, no, Chris, no, because I could tell he was leading her away from the Reed temptation.
Right.
But he really just kind of brought it down to a simple question. Are you in love with Reed? And
yes.
I think it occurred to her, no, at least I wasn't asking you if you were.
Oh.
Lisa says yes. Are you excited about the prospect of Ed proposing to you? Yes. Well, then you know the answer. I mean, that was just so... I think maybe a woman would have convoluted the issue. He just really cut to the chase.
Black
and
or
helped.
White.
Yeah, black or white. It was an obvious. At the time, I didn't like the choice, to be honest with you, because that would have been like a romantic movie. You know, the guy comes back and says, I made a mistake. I wanted her so bad to say, I pick you, Reed. I'm sorry. Even though I love Ed, it just is such a romantic twist. But at the time, I was mad at Chris Harrison. But looking back on it, it was a great thing for him to do. I think he may have changed the whole course of her life, possibly.
I really do. But you know what? I think true love wins out in the end. And while I have, you know, you guys know I'm a huge Reed fan, and I hope that maybe in time I can have him on the show and talk about his experiences. But
you don't have us on there at that time. We'll never speak to you again, Jeffrey.
Yeah.
I was expecting that.
What she said.
Yeah. Okay. All right. You guys can come along too. You can ride shotgun. Okay. Yeah. All right. And maybe we'll all do it in Philadelphia over brunch or something.
There you go.
So anyway, enough about that. But just I just loved it when Chris said there is no question of what you need to do. And I hurt for Reed. I mean, what I will say this, what an incredibly brave guy to come back. You know, I would have been a little bit more better dressed, you know, no leisure suit, no Woody Allen tennis shoes or whatever. But
I'd like to know the story behind that. Where did those clothes come from? Did they say, God, man, at least put a jacket on? They throw him a jacket out of wardrobe? Or how did that outfit come together? I'd love to know.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, but you know what? Bless his heart, I bet he didn't sleep the entire night or whatever. It had to be just like an amazing, what must have been running through his head to and fro. I mean, just, you know, I'm surprised he didn't come out in a loony jacket from the asylum when they brought him on last night, you know, for after the final rose. But we'll talk more about that in just a second. But Ed, you know, man, first class proposal. You know, you're everything I could ask for in a woman. Beautiful, funny, intelligent, and confident. Yeah, there you go. Love Jillian's confidence. That's a turn on for me, too. I know that I love you, but before we go any further, I need to know that you love me. And he got out that ring, and she said, absolutely. And I'll tell you guys, I am so rooting for these kids to make it. I really am.
Yeah, everybody's being so cynical about the show, and Lisa and I are a little bit too obsessed, I think, but a lot of people are being cynical online about it, and I would love for them to just show them, look, this actually can work. If you think about it, it's an insane concept.
The show
is totally nuts. I mean, I want you, you go home. It's just crazy, but I just love everything about it, and I'd love to see it work. Although, I think they hit a lot of the chemistry between Ed and Jillian. I saw it from the beginning, but I just was kind of surprised that she was so in love with him and for so long, because you notice she said, I've loved you for a long time, and I've been wanting to tell you for so long. You know, apparently the producers wanted her to keep that under wraps so we couldn't guess who she was going to choose.
There you go, yeah.
It must be on the cutting room floor, all the really closeness and passionate moments that they had.
When you know something's right, when you feel something's right, you got to go for it. And it's got to be so frustrating when you can't really lay your heart out on the line with all the TV cameras and stuff like that. But I just saw them on Regis and Kelly this morning. They had Anderson Cooper sitting in, and they just looked so happy together. I was just pleased as punch. And they even did a little newlywed game kind of deal where it's like, how much do you know about your partner and stuff like that? And they were pretty much in sync the whole way. You know, of course, they probably rehearsed it, but, you know, I don't want to know about that.
Yeah. Tell us about reality. We like reality TV.
Exactly. Yeah. But they're just so darling together, and I just got a huge kick out of it. I really did. But let's talk a little bit about our main topic today is going to be after the final rose, since it's fresh in everybody's minds. And we'll take a little break from Jilly and Ed to talk about the show from top to bottom. Melissa coming back. Melissa, oh my God, you know, I wouldn't wish something on her, even on my worst enemy. The situation that happened to her with Mesnit back in January, but boy, talk about a 360.
Yeah, she's such a beautiful girl, and she really has seemed to bounce back and is thriving, which I think that's always the best revenge, I think.
It really is. And, you know, she was, you know, I can't believe that she was so young. I mean, she's like maybe 24, 25 years old, and she felt that things just weren't happening for her. It was kind of, I don't want to say dark or anything like that, but it didn't seem like she was a very happy person based on what I've heard. And then, you know, my God, you know, you think you're on the cusp of exhilaration and you're going to be a bride and everything, and then to have a guy humiliate you in front of millions of people on national television.
And to make her watch it again.
Yeah,
that was painful for me. That was uncomfortable.
Oh, gosh. You know, the producers of the show have some serious something. And, hell, balls. So, you know, it's the internet. We can say that kind of stuff here.
Sure.
It's not
balls,
commercial,
balls,
right? Yeah, anyway. And I'm also going to say one of Jillian's favorite words here in a minute. But anyway.
But
we'll talk about that in a second. But the fact that she was back at work during this whole debacle, you know, even before she got humiliated on TV and everything, and in the midst of this, Dancing with the Stars calls up, and we all know what a great success she was on that show, and now This summer, she's become a special correspondent for Good Morning America, did a nice little package with a comedian whose name escapes me, who gave away computers somewhere in Africa. And she did a wonderful job with that. So, you know, way to go, Melissa. We're so proud of you. I mean, she just looked great and happy and relaxed and everything. And I'm looking forward to seeing what she brings to GMA and hopefully Dancing with the Stars. I wouldn't mind her coming back as a correspondent, but ooh, don't steal Samantha Harris's job. That would be bad. That would be very bad. But
anyway. Another one of your crushes, Samantha Harris.
We're not going to go there. Anyway, no, I love Samantha to death. She can get on people's nerves, but I like Samantha, you know. And, of course, we'll be talking more about that. You know, Dina and I, you know, you and me both, we'll talk about that as we get closer to August the 17th, which is going to be the day that the new cast is going to be announced on Speak of the Devil, Good Morning America, but more about that when we get to that point in time. But let's talk about the old boy, one of the big highlights of the show, Kipton and Jillian back together again. Oh, my God. I mean, you could hear a pin drop after the revisit to what happened in Hawaii. It was one of those uncomfortable silences. It was just, oh.
Yeah, when they make them rewatch the rejection, and I love to watch their little faces in the corner, you know, and it's, I felt like Kipton would come back. Lisa, didn't you very... Oh, I'm over it, you know. I realized it, you know, I wasn't the one for her, no big deal, but I saw pain in his face.
Oh, I did too, but I think, you know, that he handled himself very well. And when they asked if, you know, if he would have told her he loved her sooner, he said no, because he didn't feel, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought it was very genuine, but I wasn't sure what to expect when he came back.
Usually the people will come back on the After the Rose and they're all flipping about it because they're kind of embarrassed, you know. It's an embarrassing situation, but I think, you know, he said, whew, after he watched it, you know, like it still hurt. I want to know what Jillian's, her mojo. She's got some kind of mojo going on. She's doing something in those fantasy suites that have all these guys just not being able to get over her after these months are passed.
Complete agreement. I mean, I'm looking at your notes here, Dina, and Reed made 10 phone calls to ask the producers if he could come back, and yeah. Bless his heart, he bought his own ring. Didn't think he had that much competition. Well, I'll tell you what, buddy, you had a hell of a competition in both Kipton and Ed, and he still feels like he lost the love of his life. But I tell you what really got to me was that moment. Jillian had no clue he was coming back. Had her hand over her heart, and Reed, if my memory serves me correctly, said slam dunk, and everybody went, aw, you know, and it was
in the bag, slam dunk. I kind of didn't like that. You know, that was kind of a turnoff, though. I just thought it was a slam dunk. I thought she was just waiting on me to say that I love her, and that would be it.
Well, yeah. Look at the, when they're together, you know, when she's with each one of them individually, she makes them feel like they're it.
Yeah, you know, where they would all think, I've got this in the bag.
Me too. And, you know, that's why he thought that he if he came back, it would, you know, he would have no trouble getting her back, because she made him feel like he was the one. Mm-hmm. But I never understood why she let Reed go before Kipton, because there seemed to be more of a connection between her and Reed than Kipton and Jillian.
Yeah, Reed and Jillian are almost like magnets. You know, as soon as they're in the room, their heads are together. They look like they've been together for years, like the way they wrap their arms around each other, and he buries his head in her hair. I mean, it's just, as a woman watching that, Jeffrey, it's just so romantic. It's all those signs of, we can't stop touching each other, where I didn't see that with Kipton or even with Ed.
With Kipton, it was just like she just wanted to, like, make out.
Yeah.
They just kissed all the time. But, I mean, like you say, there's just, like, more of a connection, physical bonding between
her and
Reed.
And maybe it's more motherly. Maybe because she kind of rubs the back of his head and pats his head. And maybe she feels protective of him. And he's like the little boy thing. And maybe that's why she couldn't think of him as somebody taking care of her. But, I mean, they can't keep their hands. I felt like Reed was going to reach out and just touch her on the sofa after the final rose show. I felt like any moment he could just grab her and kiss her if she gave him the sign. And I would have melted, but not to me.
Is it cool or uncool at this point to say, may I have a Kleenex, please?
No, really.
Man,
I didn't tear up last night. I did.
I just, she was so moved, and I thought at first this was going to be a pleasant exchange, or as pleasant as could be expected under the circumstances, but, you know, in my best Keanu Reeves, whoa, and now this is dramatic, as Chris Harrison would say, but me, I swear to God, I think I might have gone all Dustin Hoffman in The Graduate, you know, Elaine, No, wait a minute. I mean, Jillian, you know, I mean, I probably would have just swept her out of the studio and caught the nearest bus or something, you know.
Well, they haven't gotten married yet. Reed may show up at that wedding chapel. You don't know.
Oh, my God. Oh, that would be ABC. Are you listening? Anyway,
yeah,
Reed is a gentleman and a class act and a very brave young man. But I'll tell you something, if Ed screws up, and I don't think Ed's going to screw up, I really don't, but if something should happen, I'll tell you what, I suspect that they still have each other's numbers. I mean, it could mm-hmm. happen, but I don't know. I just feel that Jillian and Ed are one of these, I think they're going to be like Trista and her hubby. I think that these guys may be in it for the long haul, and I'm rooting for them. But we got to talk about that kid in that red dress that so sweetly asked that, "Are you dating again?" You know, and it was it was the cutest moment on a show like this since that Sanjaya groupie in the audience was crying like a baby during his season on American Idol. And I got to tell you, God bless you, Chris Harrison. Great ad lib with that rose. And even Jillian was getting off on it, you know, calling it adorable and all that. So it was really cool. And
this Reed was smart to say, "How old are you?"
Yeah, that was funny. She didn't look over, I would say she was between maybe 19 and 21. Not that young, you know. I think she's legal. I'll put it that way. I would have certainly sent a crew member over, you know, "Can you find out more information about her?" You know.
You may have.
Sounds like a plan. You know, oh, good gracious. But
I think Reed's going to be getting a lot of offers now.
Do you think Reed has loosened up to a point where he might be camera ready, that they would base a show on him rather than, say, you know, the GQ Jake?
I would pick Kipton more so than I would Jake now.
Yeah, Jake was kind of a turnoff on the After the Rose, the mental all ceremony to me, or show to me. I would love to see Reed, but I'm not sure he would be good television. But I think Kipton would be the right balance. Although Kipton just doesn't do it for me. I know he does for Lisa, but
it's going to be interesting. You know, they could go with somebody completely new. And in a way, with so many different choices, I think it probably would be best to start off fresh and kind of, you know, break away from this continuity thing. But then again, maybe continuity is what ABC wants. You know, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in the next 3 to 4 months as everybody kind of puts their heads together behind the scenes and all that. Let's go ahead and get to the finale here, or the finale of the finale.
Can I ask you a question, Jeffrey?
You sure can, dear.
What do you think Reed was going to ask Jillian about the fantasy suite?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a good question. You talking about when they were in the bubble bath or whatever?
Well, they didn't say. He just said he had a question. He wanted to know about the fantasy suite. And then he said, "No, if you're happy, I don't need to ask any more questions."
Mm-hmm.
But
I wondered if he was going to say, "Who was the best in the fantasy suite?" Or, "What about the things you said to me in the fantasy suite?" Or, who knows what the pillow talk was.
I wanted him to ask so bad.
It's funny that I respect him for not going there. I mean, he kind of put his foot in his mouth when he did that, I think. But I just wonder if it could have been, you know, was it good for you too? I mean, I don't know. I don't want to speculate on that. I tell you, there was some serious heat going on in those bubbles. I'll put it that way. But so you won't have to. But it's just, I got to tell you, I think that out of all three of them, based on the footage that we've seen, Ed by far was the most, I mean, the intimacy between those two was just not only sexy, but it was damn heartwarming, you know, the look in her eyes, the look in his eyes, and the fact that, I'll tell you another thing, I think that really impresses me, and God, I hope more women are this way than I think. She didn't feel bad when, say, he had that failure to launch moment, because that's always been my fear. I'll be honest, I'll be candid here. You know, I worry about stuff like that, and for a woman to be understanding, that's just one of the sweetest things I think I've ever seen in my life. So yet another reason why she endears herself to me, and another reason that she endears herself to me is that she had the guts to say, "Ed better not fucking disappoint me on that pier." I got the biggest kick out of that. I thought it was beautiful. And it's like, man, I want to see more of this openness on TV. I want to see Paula Abdul go to a contestant, "You better fucking not disappoint me."
Paula would never say the F word.
But I would love it. You know, I would pay her. And by the way, a little side note here. Idle people, get off your asses and pay this woman $20 million freaking dollars because she damn well deserves it. I had to get that out. So anyway, enough about that. But Paula is the heart of that show, and it would not be the same without her. But we'll talk about Idle down the road when January 2010 comes along. But Dina, I gotta nudge you just a little bit. You know, when Jilly and Ed were on the couch talking, you know, she said, "I'm in a very good place right now." And I thought, well, that's not the kind of place that Dina thought, you know, and got my hopes up and, you know, every other guy listening to this show right here. So, Dina, how do you feel about this? I mean, you know, it's funny how some people can interpret a remark one way and others can interpret it, you know, the complete opposite. You know, it's the opposite end of the spectrum. So how did you feel about that when, you know, she picked out on Monday night and she just went, you know, all girly and wrapped her legs around Ed and all that? I mean, how did you feel?
Well, I was happy for him. I hate to be wrong and I hate to lose. My intuition was off a little bit there, but I think Jillian was throwing us a curveball. I mean, her whole thing was to try to keep it quiet for two months. I cannot imagine keeping that under wraps for 2 months and throwing us off by saying all the things about Kipton and saying less about Ed. So my thought was that Ed wasn't going to do it. I don't know where the turning point was for Ed. Maybe it was with the lava eruption earlier in the show.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
He got down on his knee. I was a little surprised. I thought he would have, you know, said, "I want to get to know you better, but I've got the ring in my pocket for later." So I was wrong. What can I say? And I'm sorry, Jeffrey. Maybe it was just wishful thinking for you.
Well, I don't know about that, but I got to tell you, like I said on this show earlier, I always said that if somebody that I respected and I talked about a guy, you know, he walked off the show and then realized he made a mistake and the producers bended the rules to accommodate him. And because I think the producers, everybody behind the scenes just had to know these two are it. This has got to happen. This is so got to happen. Did it stain me? Oh, hell yeah. It hurt. You know, I don't think there were any single romantic guys like me who were in front of their TVs on Monday night whose throats didn't swell up wishing we were in Edward's shoes. But then again, it comes full circle. You guys asked me many weeks ago when we started this little three-way conversation here, you asked me how I would felt if something like this was going to happen. And I said, if she wound up with a guy that I respected, I was going to be beyond thrilled. Ed is a terrific, laid-back, funny, heartfelt kind of guy, just the kind of person I know I'd run into in Chicago. And I knew the minute she laid eyes on him, you know, like we talked about earlier, in L.A., it should have been game over then, because, I mean, I just knew. And when he left for the first time, I just knew he was going to go absolutely nutty buddy.
I told you he was going to come back, Jeffrey. I got it wrong about the end, but remember, I told you guys that.
That's right. That's right. And that proved to be the vital element of this show that people, I think everybody in this country was rooting for those two. Did we love Reed? Did we love Kipton? Of course we did. They were both great guys. And I tell you, Ed, talk about bravery and taking a chance. You know, Reed and Kipton, fierce foals and cool guys in their own right. But it was just meant to be since that May moment that they spent in the moonlight for the first time. And the cool thing is, and I hope this is a cool thing, I know nobody in the city of Chicago. And I want to go there in 2010. It's on my agenda. And I could use two terrific down-to-earth tour guys to show me around town and keep me company. So if by chance, Ed, Jillian, if you're listening, if you can kind of work me in, you know, would love to not only spend some time with you, talk to you on the podcast here, find out how things are going and all that. But I would definitely like to spend some time, realize my boyhood dream of going to 1060 West Addison Street, home of the Boys in Blue, Eternal Optimists Like Me, the Chicago Cubs, and Ed and Jilly, the Hot Dogs Brew, and Cracker Jacks. You know, got to have some Cracker Jacks in tribute to Harry Carey, man, all that. Well, beyond me. So there you go.
Well, go ahead, Lisa.
Well, I think you're wrong about the key element. I think the key element was the green shorts. And had Reed or Kipton sported the green shorts, we may be looking at a different outcome.
And you know what? I'm glad you said that, Lisa, because Trista Sutter tweeted me and said, if you have green shorts like Ed, you need to burn them. But you know what? After Monday night, after seeing Ed and those incredibly overanalyzed green shorts, I said, man, I'm proud of my individuality. I'm going to continue to wear them. So, Ed, you know, I didn't burn the green shorts, and I did that for you.
Apparently has a navy pair, too, they said.
Oh, right.
That's a matching pair.
So there you go. But in retrospect, as we kind of wind things up or looking ahead to the future, what do you guys think? I mean, we've seen so many of these deals go sour down the road. Final thoughts as we start to wrap this puppy up here?
I wish them a lot of luck, but I think we have to consider the fact that they've been in these beautiful locations, being catered to, their meals cooked. She's been wearing beautiful gowns and jewelry. The ring was bought for them. They've had all this attention for so long, and now they have to go back to the real world. They have to survive together. They have to put the toilet seat down, put the toilet seat up. They have to work out which you're going to squeeze a toothpaste from the middle or the end. It's going to be rough. They're going to be everyday people, and it could be quite a shock to their system. But if they can get through the first year, maybe like Tristan Ryan, and settle down, I hope it works, but it's going to be tough.
It is. I mean, I completely agree with what you're saying, because we don't have cameras around, and, you know, you're going to be in casual jeans and T-shirts and stuff like that. And you know what? I think they are going to welcome this breakaway from the lights and the cameras, because it's truly then that you find out whether or not you're cut out for one another. But they, we can put our game faces on for the television cameras and stuff like that, but what counts is when reality sets in, and real reality, not reality TV.
Well said.
Lisa, final thoughts as we start to close here.
Well, this was the first time that I had ever seen this show, so, you know, it's hard for me to compare it to any of the previous shows, but I can't imagine anybody more relatable to, you know, than Jillian. She was just so down to earth. And
right on.
I just really liked her, and I can't imagine liking somebody else any better than her, but I really like this show. I don't know that I'm crazy about the outcome, but I think it's just because I lost since I chose Kipton. But I think that Jillian and Ed are a great match, and, you know, they said they would probably be married within 12 months, and I really see that happening. I think I do too.
I'm with you, yeah.
You know, and she even made the comment that, you know, for anybody who thinks that this isn't real, because, you know, they were all teary there at the after the rose, whatever you call that, the last show.
Right.
You know, she was just very upset that she couldn't call Kipton or Reed to make sure that they were okay. And I have to commend her on how she handled this whole thing. I couldn't have done it.
Yeah. I don't think she necessarily wanted to be on television like so many of them do. She just really wanted to find love, and this was an opportunity to do it.
And yet, you know, she's so camera friendly, and I cannot say enough about her sincerity and her warmth. And I think we need more women like Jillian Harris to either be in front of the camera or writing or whatever. I see so much potential in her that I hope other people in Hollywood are not going to dilute or screw up, because she's wonderful. And Jillian, if you're listening, I want to thank you not only for giving us a great summer of television, but I also want to thank you for helping introduce me to my good friends on the other side of the computer glass here, Dina and Lisa. Guys, and I didn't tell them I was going to say this, and this is coming from the heart here. I actually have it written down, but it's coming from the heart. These are two of the funniest, kindest, sweetest ladies I've met in my media adventures, and you guys do not know, out there listening, how supportive they've been off the air as well. And it is so sweet at this period in my life, I'm 47 years old, and when people often give up on their dreams and wait for the finish line, for the final curtain, these two ladies have taken time out of their lives to spend time with me chatting about this so-called reality show. And I want to tell you guys here, and I mean this sincerely, you have played a huge role in helping me believe in myself again. So I not only want to thank Jillian, Ed, Chris Harrison, everybody involved with The Bachelorette, all the guys that came across the country, unforgettable characters like Tanner and Michael and Juan. Hell, I even love Wes and David at this moment for playing up the bad guy angle, you know, gave us something to talk about like Bonnie Raitt, you know, and kept things exciting because, you know, as we all know, real reality is kind of boring. So Wes and David, I'll tell you what, I'm a peace-loving guy here, so, you know, hats off to you guys too. Everybody involved with the show at Next Entertainment, Telepictures Productions, and of course my favorite television network that I kind of work for, ABC. And last but not least, Dina and Lisa from beautybroads.com for teaming up with me, because they're not only great people to chat with, but they've become wonderful friends. I'm a lot like Jillian in the aspect that I get very emotional, but I'm going to say this, you know, I'm not a big fan of goodbyes. This is just a temporary parting. Like I've alluded to earlier in the show, Dina, like me, is a huge Dancing with the Stars fan, and the new cast is going to be announced on Monday, August the 17th, and we will be reconvening then, and hopefully we can get Lisa involved in this as well to kind of give our thoughts about that. And then the week of September 21st, we will have a three-night, ABC is going to be having a three-night premiere of the ninth season. Can you guys believe it's nine seasons already, Dancing with the Stars?
It's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah, they do like two seasons a year, I think. But I do want to say, Jeffrey, I don't know if we're going to get a moment to say or not, but that was very touching what you said. We're already on the emotional edge over this Reed thing. You're about to send us into tears.
I'm sorry. I don't want to make you cry, but just I have to be honest, and I'm all about honesty. You know, I mean, I think that's, you know, whatever little success I've had in my life has been because of I think it's because of my sincerity and heart. And although I had this written down, I think I had to have it written down because I wanted to pay you guys props for being so wonderful to me this summer. And you don't know the half of it. You do not know the half of it. So
well, we really appreciate the opportunity. If we've had any small part in you continuing your dream, then we're honored to have done that. And I don't want you to worry, because like Ed and Reed, we will be back.
That's good to hear. That's good to hear. I tell you, I'm really looking forward to working with you guys more on the show here. I think we've got a good little fan base going here. And for those of you listening, you know, I also do a show called The DVD Marquee, in which I talked about the latest home video releases. We're getting new guests, more exciting guests as the months go by. So two great shows, if I may toot my own horn here, and for the time being you can hear both of them here on www.thedvdmarquee.com. The Culture of Pop is going to have its own website very soon, I promise. It's just very difficult to find people. By the way, I want to tip my hat off while I have a moment here to a couple of wonderful gentlemen that I just think the world of, and that's Ward Presley and Jeffrey Wilson. Jeffrey is my roommate, and both of these guys have taken time out of their busy schedules. Ward is a IT guy for WAAY, and Jeffrey is going to school to get his degree in 3D animation, and both of these guys have just been so excited about what I'm accomplishing. I guess I must impress them too, because they've done so many wonderful things behind the scenes. And I just personally want to say, Ward and Jeffrey, thank you guys very much. And I also have to say thank you very much to my partner at Red Abstract Incorporated. Oh, that's sounding like the longest Academy Award speech ever. So anyway, but it's coming from the heart, you know. I can hear the band almost playing me off. I'm going to need James Cameron up here to go, quiet, quiet. So anyway, but I definitely got to pay props and sincere props to my longtime friend Jason Miller and his father for believing in me as well. Because folks, in the words of Al Jolson from the Jazz Singer, I think the quote was, "You ain't heard nothing yet." And we've got so much going on and so much in the pipeline. So please tell your friends about the show. And before I go, I cannot forget to plug Lisa and Dina's podcast, which is Celeb Side Dish. You can find that on iTunes, and you can also go to their website, beautybroads.com. Finally got it right. Well, I got it right last time, so anyway.
You did. You're doing good.
But Beauty, thank you. Thank you, girls. And it's beautybroads.com. They talk about beauty products and stuff like that. It's marvelous, and if I'm a guy and I dig it, you know, you will too. I'll put it that way. So, girls, I hope this hasn't been a long, drawn-out, temporary goodbye, but I just wanted to tell you how I felt on the air here as we kind of wrap things up. So thank you guys very much from the bottom of my heart. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Folks, that's it. And once again, Ed, Jilly, I cannot say I'm getting worked up here as I'm talking about this. You know, I'm going to need a handkerchief or something in the next few minutes. But you kids, I so hope you make it, because there's not enough love in this world, and two wonderful people like you were just meant to be together, and I think it's your destiny. And please, you know, hit me up. You know, I don't know if we need to have our people call your people kind of thing, but I would so like to get together with you guys in Chicago in 2010 when things slow down just a tweet bit for you guys. But get away from the lights, get away from the cameras, have fun. You deserve it. And for all of us here at Red Abstract Incorporated and the Culture of Pop, I'm Jeffrey Rosato. And until we meet again, amigos, bye for now.